This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
This is Peter Scoofstand with Walter Yerkew. You are listening to 7-5 Radio live. It is Saturday, July 11th, 2020. Walter, are you with us?
I'm right here, my friend. I'm right here. How are you?
Okay, I've been better. Question is, how many more times we got to put up with this? Dateline, McAllen, Texas. Police Officer Ismael Chavez, McAllen, Texas Police Department, and Police Officer Ed Delmiro Garza Jr., McAllen, Texas Police Department. End of watch. Saturday, July 11th, 2020. These two officers in McAllen, Texas were shot and killed at an ambush while responding to a domestic situation. And of course, nothing from mainstream news, nothing from CNN. Don Lemon's not going to say anything. MSNBC is not going to say anything. Black Lives Matter, they don't care because it's two dead cops instead of somebody that would die in police custody. Also, we want to remember Police Officer Anthony Dia, Toledo, Ohio Police Department, end of watch July 4th, 2020. His killer committed suicide. And Sergeant Craig Johnson, Tulsa, Oklahoma Police Department, end of watch June 30th, 2020. He succumbed to a gunshot wound suffered one day previously while using de-escalation techniques and non-lethal force to extract an individual from an automobile. But breaking news out of McAllen, Texas, once again, two officers, Officer Chavez, Officer Garza from McAllen, Texas Police Department, shot and killed. They were ambushed. The perp allegedly has been shot. We understand he was either committed suicide or somebody returned fire. We don't know if he's alive or dead. We're going to break in details. But, well, how much longer is this going to go on?
Man, another minute is too long. Another minute is too long. The way the movements have been against police and defunding the police, and these two officers just showed you why you can't. They laid it on the line. They laid it out there for you guys out there in radio land, so to speak. All the people that are listening, man, express yourself. You got to get behind these guys in blue. This is only going to get worse. It's going to continue. It can't get any worse than what it already is. It's just going to continue. And that's the worst part. There's no end in sight for anybody paying attention to the police department anymore. Anybody that shows up, even creepy Joe Biden called the police the enemy the other night in a speech. The only way it's going to stop is for the real politicians, the real people, to get behind this country. And, it's not a question of educating these idiots that want to defund the police. It's a question of getting rid of them. Their platform is uncalled for. So if these two officers were murdered, what's going to happen to an unarmed social worker that's going to walk up the front porch? They're going to try and settle a violent domestic dispute like this? Unbelievable. Another minute is too long, but we know it's going to go on. It's going to go on through the election. It's going to go through next year and the year after that. So cops getting killed has been part of our history. Laying it on the line for people is in our history. Unfortunately, it's going to continue to happen. But it's got to slow down. It's got to stop. There's too many cops losing their lives over stupid stuff because you can't get along with your spouse. It's ridiculous, my friend. It's ridiculous.
Right. And I mentioned Sergeant Craig Johnson of the Tulsa-Oklahoma Police Department. He needed to impound a car for whatever reason, and the perp refused to exit the car. So he used, according to Officer Don Memorial page, ompd.org, he used de-escalation techniques and non-lethal force to remove him from the car. And look what good it did him. And again, Sergeant Johnson, he wanted to go home at night, but he didn't want to get sued. He didn't want to go to jail, so he didn't use lethal force. He didn't meet force with force, and unfortunately, look what happened to him. And then you have New York City Police Department. They have a 400% increase of cops retiring. These are just filing for retirement. Not to mention a numerous amount of officers are just resigning. They don't have the they're not vested with the pension plan or whatever, so they're just resigning. So people are leaving in droves. And when de Blasio first got elected, cops were retiring. But anyways, in the pension departments, they had to they only were able to process about 40 retirements a day. So people. Cops have to wait to go down, file the paperwork, and you know, do whatever steps to take to make sure they get their best of pension that they deserve, and then some. But anyways, cops are leaving not only New York City, but also Minneapolis. Tonight on Liberty News Radio, during one of the news breaks at the bottom of the hour at between 9 and 10, Minneapolis cops are filing for disability, citing PTSD. Well, mm-hmm. Guess what? When the job says, all right, well, we're going to defund you, we're going to lock up cops that had nothing to do with George Floyd, we're going to let the people go out in the street and assault you, of course they're going to file for disability. And Minnesota, being one of these leftist pink or commie blue states, they'll probably get it. But in terms of cops leaving the job, I don't blame them. Why stay in an apartment when the mayor hates you, the city or county council hate you, the media hates you, the district attorney or state attorneys that hate you? Perfect example is DA Robert Johnson in Bronx County, New York. He was a criminal's best friend, a cop's worst enemy. The public hates you. The bosses in your job hate you. Then your department is defunding, which means they're taking money used for payroll, overtime, hiring new cops, uniforms, cars, other equipment. That's going by the wayside. They're going to put in some socials program, and the job will not back you up whatsoever. And then everything that you do, you look like a criminal. Anyways, we'll be right back talking more about people leaving the police department and Disney's newest feature. All right, 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio. Thank you, everybody.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters. At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no way.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
All right, we are back. Breaking news out of McAllen, Texas. Two officers killed in line of duty responding to a domestic dispute. This is Peter Scoop State with Walter Yerkew. We are live on 7-5 Radio, Saturday, July 11, 2020. For those who dare want to take the job, the number for the NYPD recruitment hotline is 212-RECRUIT. But I would not suggest taking that down that number until they have a new mayor, because once again, they're not, the job is not going to back. It's not only in New York; it's going to be Chicago, where it's absolute war zone. Minneapolis, Philadelphia, Baltimore, anything where there's lots of crime and run by Democrats, you can bet your bottom dollar that they won't back you when you know what hits the fan. Walt, you got any more anything else you want to comment on the about the murders of McAllen, Texas, and the state of policing in the country?
No, man, nothing to add. It speaks for itself. It speaks for itself.
Right, but anyways, if we get more breaking news, we'll keep you informed. But anyways, next story. Disney. Now, me being a American Ute one time, I used to love everything Disney. James Edwards up on the cesspool still does. But Disney was, my opinion, was a genius. He designed Walt Disney World. He designed Disneyland. He designed Epcot Center years before it was actually open. He was in the middle of designing Epcot before he passed away. But anyways, he had television programs. He had movies. He had Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast, Bambi, Sleeping Beauty, so on and so forth. And he became a very wealthy man, which, you know, God bless him, he should for his talent. During World War II, he made propaganda movies for the troops. But anyways, they used to be at Disney. But right now, Disney has been going to hell for the past 20 years. I mean, to promote the LGBTQ agenda with their characters and movies in gay scenes and television, including and the Disney programming for kids,
Then in 2020, it's promoting the Black Lives Matter on his networks. And mind you, it's not just only ABC or ESPN, but it's Disney Networks, which is geared towards children. But the Disney Corporation has been growing leaps and bounds. Besides theme parks and movie studios, it did buy ESPN and ABC Networks, as well as Star Wars franchise, 50% stake of A&E Networks, and 60% of Fox. But over the years, Disney, ABC have been pushing the agenda. The networks, ESPN, gave Bruce Jenner the Arthur Ashe Award for Courage for coming out as trans on the ESPYs a couple years ago. And if you remember that situation, Brett Favre just looked absolutely just disgusted. And he gave just clapping his hands like, you know, he did not care or just was wondering what the hell he's looking at. Also, ESPN gave us Michael Sam kissing his boyfriend after being drafted to the St. Louis Rams. ABC News killed the Epstein story as well as canceling Roseanne show, the reboot, as it started delivered on a so-called racist tweet. I think the show was canceled because Roseanne was being awakened and was tweeting for QAnon and coming to our side. But ABC did not disappoint. They gave us a 21st century Cosby show called Blackish, which the main characters work with ignorant white adults. ABC then pushed the envelope further by airing Mixed-ish, a sitcom about a mixed-race family, a spinoff of Black-ish that lasted one season and had 23 episodes. Then ABC gave us 11 seasons of Modern Family with a masculine straight white male as a lead and two gay guys who had kids. On the Disney Network, they had one female character, just another. But anyways, with this crappy PC agenda going on, Star Wars, gay character in Pixar, and that horrendous Black Panther movie, DC just went right to hell. But then came Hamilton. Some time ago, a Broadway composer, actor, singer, songwriter, whoever, named Lin-Manuel Miranda came up with the idea of a Broadway musical based on the life of Alexander Hamilton, except the cast would be mostly non-white, and the music would be hip-hop, R&B, and not very good. Andrew Lloyd Webber, it is nuts. Of course, this mess of a Broadway show was a hit. Hillary Clinton and Bill de Blasio attended. So did Vice President Mike Pence attended. I don't know why. He was booed. Then in Washington, D.C., the line went on for about a quarter of a mile at the crack of dawn. Rich people pay hundreds of dollars to watch this horrendous play in a venue paid for by D.C. taxpayers. But anyways, luckily, thanks to COVID, it was canceled. But anyways, Walter's spinning his grave now because somebody at Disney decided to come up with Hamilton the movie. They filmed the movie on a stage, no set, no props, no horses, no nothing. And then they filmed it, and then the people at Disney decided to distribute the movie under Disney Pictures, not one of the many other studios that Disney owns. No more Mary Poppins Escape from Witch Mountain, but this horrendous just piece of trash of a play. And, of course, people were just absolutely ecstatic having over this pile of crap available on Disney Plus. Here in Washington, D.C., especially on the Fox 5 affiliate, local twink, his name is Kevin McCarthy, not Congressman McCarthy, but Hollywood Reporter Kevin McCarthy was an embarrassment. McCarthy kisses every celebrity's ass he comes across, yet mentions nothing about the pedophilia, but he was all over it. And then some big mama here in D.C. named Allison Seymour, also on Fox 5 here in D.C., told viewers that she watched Hamilton on Disney Plus, and it was enjoyed by everybody in their family. But remember, people, Disney owns 60% of Fox. So you put the connected dots. Walt, you got any comments on Hamilton?
No, but it's a farce of a movie. It's not even a satire type of film. It's a production that was thrown together, and it is junk. I mean, not that it could have been any better if they took their time with it, but it's just junk. It's a farce. It's a farce.
Right.
You're absolutely right. It's just absolute junk, absolute garbage. I mean, Disney ought to be ashamed of themselves, but that's what you get for years of the crap at Disney. But, I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less from Disney, unfortunately. And, you know, Walt was a good guy. So, it's just junk. But I don't know where to turn other than the Seven Fire Radio. Well, you guys, is what we can watch for good quality entertainment for kids. Because, I mean, I can't let them watch kids.
I don't go to the movies anymore. I don't watch network TV anymore. You know, I'm just as happy with the vet shows, you know, veterinarian shows and the zoo shows and the First 48. You know, I'm good with those kind of shows. I'm not interested in anything ABC's got to do with CBS or NBC. I got no interest in none of that stuff. They've been putting garbage on for 25 years, 35 years. It's junk. You can't have a show like we used to, you know, where you just bring a sitcom that's actually funny without calling another
record. All right, well, when we come back, we'll talk about a great entertainer. You got to take this call. I got an emergency going on at home. Stay tuned, everybody. We got Walt coming up with great entertainer 756.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The United States has seen another record-breaking day with over 66,600 new coronavirus cases, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. That's up from the previous daily record of 63,200 and marks the third time in less than a week the country has hit an all-time high for new confirmed infections. The United States has now seen 3.18 million COVID-19 cases and more than 134,000 deaths due to the virus. Parts of the country are scrambling to shut down once again. Bars, restaurants, and the young have made their way into the crosshairs of governors in southern states where the virus is surging. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster issued an executive order to prohibit the sale of alcoholic beverages after 11 p.m.
This executive order will prohibit the sale of alcoholic beverages at all South Carolina restaurants and bars after 11 p.m.
This is USA Radio News. Hi, I'm John Hunt. Normally, you hear me on USA Radio News telling you stories about other people in the news. Well, now I've written a book about the amazing blessings of my life and how, through miracles, I'm still alive. I'm a 40-year radio host who thought he'd reached the height of his career until tragedy struck. After a severe bout with the flu, I died twice, was revived, and spent 6 days in a coma and started the journey toward a full heart transplant. The book is called My Rock and Roll Heart Transplant Journey and is available at Amazon.com in paperback and Kindle form. The story takes you through how I got the heart disease, the people that helped me along the way, some crazy stories, and the real life story of the miracles of science as I received the perfect heart match from my donor. I'm now in training for the 2020 Transplant Games in New Jersey. Grab your copy of My Rock and Roll Heart Transplant Journey today at Amazon.com. Thanks, and may your life be filled with all the love and miracles that mine has. A North Carolina state senator says he's tested positive for COVID-19, the first known public case for a General Assembly member. Senator Danny Britt, a Robeson County Republican, said that he's received the positive test yesterday. Britt, an attorney and National Guard officer, was on the Senate floor earlier this week as the chamber debated bills and cast votes. The full legislature isn't expected to return to work now until September. Nationwide, at least 75 legislatures in 28 states have tested positive for the coronavirus since the start of the outbreak. 5 people are dead and more than 40 have been arrested after an early morning hostage situation at a long-troubled church near Johannesburg, South Africa. A statement said police and military responded to reports of a shooting at the International Pentecostal Holiness Church, where they found 4 people shot and burned to death in a car and a security guard shot in a different car. 6 other people were injured. Police say they rescued men, women, and children who had been held hostage and appeared to be living at the church. This is USA Radio News.
we Scoop had an emergency. I hope everything's all right. He had to take off and go take care of business. Hope everything is all right. We were talking about right before the break, as we were breaking, he brought up, Scoop brought up that we lost a star this week. His name was Charlie Daniels. He's a country music star, country music singer, bluegrass. He touched it all. He's been in the business for over 60 years. Passed away this week at age 83. Of course, he's best known for The Devil Went Down to Georgia, which was a hit song in John Travolta movie, Urban Cowboy, played in Mickey Gilley's place. So we've been fond. We've been tough farewell to Mr. Daniels. He was becoming an advocate in the conservative field, although he even played at Jimmy Carter's inaugural in 1977. And he's been blasting King Cuomo up there in New York for this this abortion act that was instituted, that abortions could take place at the time of birth, which is going to constitute millions and millions of murders. And hope that weighs real heavy on Cuomo. And that's what Charlie Daniels felt, that it weighs real heavy on him, did the wrong thing. But Charlie Daniels was a good man, voted into the Music Hall of Fame, Country Music Hall of Fame. He was part of the Grand Ole Opry down here in Nashville, Tennessee. He had quite an extensive career in music. He played with Lynyrd Skynyrd. He backed up Bob Dylan. He just touched on just about everything, from folk to country rock to southern rock. He did it all. And the man could play, a fiddle. Wasn't too shabby in that field. And age 83, may he rest in peace. And now he's playing up there with a golden fiddle. So take a moment and listen to some of Charlie's music online. You can pick it up. So we're going to jump forward and move along and get into something else. We had finally Creepy Joe Biden came out of the basement. And he was kind of hiding in public. You know, hiding in plain sight. Wouldn't talk to anybody. Went to his old neighborhood to look at the house that he grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania, of all things. Didn't talk to anybody. Didn't really pay attention to anybody. Kind of stood behind a tree looking at the old house. Why he did that, nobody knows. It's kind of like the way that things come out of his mouth. Nobody knows why he's even speaking. We know he's not going to take a podium against our president in a debate, and there should be at least three debates between now and October. And this man of nearly 60 years, over 50 years of service, now he says he has the thing to turn America around. Well, he was in, you know, the White House with Obama for 8 years. How come he didn't turn it around back then? He's been in the Senate and in politics for, like I said, damn near 60 years. The man's, what, 78 years old? So damn near 60 years. And he hasn't done it in the past 60 years. What makes us think that at 78, the age of 78 and 79, 80, 81, and 82, he's going to be able to pull it off? Well, don't let these things fool you. Guy's being a puppet. He's a puppet. He's a puppet for Pelosi, and he's a puppet for Schumer. He already said he's not going to have anybody as a VP running mate unless she's an American, African-American female. So that's just a racist statement in itself. It means that in order to run with Joe Biden, you got to be black and you got to be female. Unbelievable, the things that comes out of this man's mouth. You know, that thing, he says, you know, the independence, you know, that thing. We all know about it, except him. Then he goes on for too long. He can't keep up with the teleprompter. And speaking of teleprompters, Mr. Biden, if he has a debate against our president, Donald Trump, who, you know, you got to admit, the guy has become a good talking public speaking person. Joe Biden, if he does have a debate, it'll probably be in his basement. He'll have 10 people telling him what to say on a teleprompter. But face to face, with nobody around except an audience, I don't believe in the moderators, because that didn't work out too well last year. The moderators were, you know, Hillary Clinton was given the questions, not last year, last presidential election. And, you know, it was a farce. And Clinton still beat it to a pulp verbally. And, you know, imagine what he would do to Joe Biden. Just unbelievable that Joe Biden is running for president. The guy's a puppet. Don't be fooled for a minute that Pelosi, if she's elected, Pelosi is going to put stuff in front of him and say, sign it, sign it, sign it, no matter what it is. And he'll sign it. Or if he wins, he has his African-American female as vice president. He's going to retire because of his Alzheimer's, his dementia. It's apparent. You usually can't tell that somebody has dementia until the autopsy. But in Joe's case, it's pretty obvious. And then we'll have whomever as a president, because he's going to resign. He has to. He's not going to last 4 years. He's not going to last 1 month. He'll take the oath next January, and then that'll be it. That'll be it. And then we'd be stuck. So I think, you know, the president, with all the stuff that's been thrown at him in the past 3 years, the man still stands tall, still walks strong, has his head held high, and he keeps going forward. The newest thing this week was Joe Biden plagiarized. Everybody knows Joe Biden is a plagiarist. He plagiarized law paper. That's why he dropped out of the 1988 presidential race against George Bush. And now he's plagiarizing the president. If you watch Hannity or even Tucker Carlson, they put Biden side by side on the screen with an English politician who years ago said that the first time in 1,000 years, 1,000 generations, whatever he said, it was repeated by Joe Biden years later, word for word, verbatim. And these things aren't coming off the top of his head, because he also included his wife in the same speech that guy gave years and years ago. This week, he plagiarized the president, and the president's calling him out on it. America first, buy American. And Mr. Trump has been saying that for 5 years now. Especially, you know, when he first started, when he announced his candidacy for president over 4 years ago. America first. We'll bring back American business, American industry. It'll be buy American, hire American. And that's just what Mr. Biden said this week, the same thing. So, you know, he's what we call this, he's driving down the middle of the road. He doesn't want to drive into incoming, oncoming traffic, but he also doesn't want to go in the fast lane in the same direction he's going. He's in the middle of the road. He'll go whichever side of the road which is convenient for his party and his party's progress. And his party is just a mess. You have Miss Pelosi, when she's questioned about, you know, how do you feel about the statues being pulled down? People are going to do what people are going to do. They shouldn't like statues. Now, I know they were not in an opera, but still, they might be able to pull down. All right, this is Walter. Walking it up the street. He's on the land running for me right now. This is 75 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. Then she'll give me a hug and we'll end up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only 7 countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the 9th month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
And that was our little blast from the past with Charlie Daniels. I hope you enjoyed that little lyric and music of Charlie. That's our remembrance of Charlie. All right, well, we're going to go switch gears to what's going on currently. We've got, what's her name, Ghislaine Maxwell. All right, she's in jail. She's in Brooklyn. I don't know if she's getting out on bond or what, but seems that she holds the keys to the kingdom to put a lot of people away. She's rumored to have videotapes. And, of course, now, what do they call it, DVDs, CDs, from the 90s, pre-90s. So this pedophile island has been going on a really long time. And not just pedophile island. She was found up in New Hampshire in a mansion she was hiding. So they probably had their idiot parties up there, and then, of course, the places in New York and Pedophile Island. So she's in jail. My opinion, she's going to cut a deal. She's got nothing to lose, everything to gain. She's under heavy, heavy guard to ensure, quote unquote, that the same thing doesn't happen to her as Mr. Epstein. And we all know about a year ago, he murdered himself, or somebody committed suicide, or something like that. Suspicious. So she's being under strict guard, handpicked. She's in the Federal Correction Center in Brooklyn, I believe. So she's not too far away from where she used to play, as they put it in those terms. So we got we're going to see how that rolls out. You know, Harvey Weinstein, he's gone. Epstein, he's done. Now we have Bill Cosby, he's done. So we are looking forward to see what Ms. Maxwell has to offer as far as a deal. And knowing a deal, I'm sure she's committed many crimes, many sexual crimes, as a sexual predator. I bet she doesn't do any jail time if she gives up everybody, which is unfortunate, But the game is played like that. You know, you grab somebody with the information, they give it up, they walk over a very light sentence anyway. So I hope all these people that are in that book or on those videotapes get what's coming to them. And some restitution for these young men and women that were trafficked and abused by Jeff Epstein and this lady and the rest of their games. The other thing they want to talk about, all right, the Bubba Wallace thing, that's done. All right. There's a report coming up with a fellow from Fox. I can't recall his name right now. We did a one-on-one with Bubba. And as far as I'm concerned, well, I'm not going to watch it because it ain't necessary. I don't know why Fox did anything like this. And in the excerpt, Bubba denies, you know, everything, knowing about it, seeing it. You know, he's not a racist, which I don't think he is. I don't think he is a racist. But he could have put the fire out before it got out of control, when there wasn't no fire necessary. So that's something I'm not going to watch. I wish somebody else would watch it and then just, you know, private message me on my Facebook page and my Twitter page and let me know what they thought about it. And maybe we'll report on it, talk about it in the next week or two. But as far as I'm concerned, Bubba is out of the picture. Two things. The allegation of a racial crime at his garage that he was assigned to turned out to be nothing. Nothing. Just like his next race when he ran out of gas turned out to be nothing. So that shows you how bright his team is. So, you know, Bubba has some soul searching to do. What else is going on? We talked about Joe Biden and his plagiarism, and we had too many people that wanted to stand next to Joe Biden, but nobody would go near him. You know, he had that big black mask covering his face. And the other thing that I want to talk about, Terry Crews. Now, Terry Crews is a former football player, you know, an African-American black man athlete, and he was in the movie with the remake of Longest Yard, you know, Burt Reynolds, Adam Sandler, and Nicky Turturro. And Don Lemon had him on the other day. And Don Lemon is pro Black Lives Matter. And that's fine. That's fine. That's okay. You know, that's that's okay. But he's already specified that it's his opinion. He's not reporting the news. He's creating opinion, which is dividing the African-American community. Terry Crews, didn't appreciate that so much. Because look at Terry Crews brought up the seven children that have been killed since George Floyd's death. back in May that were killed, but nobody stood up for them. They had a gentleman who lost his 19-year-old son. He was on Tucker Carlson last week, and he was in the CHOP zone. He got killed in the CHOP zone by the security that was hired by the people that were running the CHOP zone. And nobody came out and spoke about that. That fell on deaf ears. So Tucker had him on. And, you know, the poor guy lost his 19-year-old son. And it was horrible, horrible. Finally, the governor called them, the mayor called them, and Mr. Trump called them. I think all three phone calls were way too delayed. But then again, as far as Mr. Trump goes, he may have done the right thing because he waited until the facts were in. Not like some people. Something happens right away. What are you doing? How come you're doing that? Why'd you pull that guy over? It, man, you know, a lot of this stuff, you have to wait until somebody puts out a report instead of being told by somebody who was told by somebody who was told by somebody else who may have saw something that nobody else saw, and all of a sudden it's gospel. And before you know it, people are getting arrested. And speaking of people getting arrested, they haven't been arrested yet. That couple who protected their home with the AK-47 and the, I guess it was a nickel-plated 38 revolver, a search warrant for their home to get those guns. And there were pictures. You could see the officers had the gun, the AK-47. 38 wasn't in the home anymore. But a search warrant was effected to their home. Now, they were protecting their property. They never came off their property. The people that were protesting were on private property because, from what I understand, it was a gated community, which makes it private access. You're not allowed to go in there unless you're approved or you live there. And you can hear the chants in the back, "We're going to come in and get you. We're going to come in and kill you." And that man stood on his front. And I mean, he's got a really big house with an AK-47. And then the crowd started to disperse because they knew they were wrong in being there. But somehow, some way, the powers that be found a way to execute a search warrant to get this gun. For what reason? I don't know. It wasn't used in a crime. If you own a gun legally, you can stand in front of your house with it. I don't care where you are. It's on your property. Like I said, it wasn't used in a crime. When they were threatened, they threatened them right back. Now this poor couple is you know, got legal troubles now because they were defending themselves. You know, in most states you have the stand your ground.
Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.